getting more involved. Oh boy. We're recording now. Getting involved in anything with the UMDF, maybe the Ambassador Support Program, please feel free to reach out to Jen or Paul, and they can absolutely hook you up with the people to be in touch with regards to that. It really is some worthwhile programming and really, really rewarding when you are put in touch with folks that need that support or need that first contact with someone in our community. Going back to Orlando, what I want to kind of bring up tonight is that one of the things that's in Orlando, and there are some several friends that are going to be going to Orlando, and one of their main purposes is to go to Disneyland in Orlando. And
Disney
I know
World.
that Disney World, sorry, oh, thank you for correcting me, the person who goes, is Disneyland in LA. Sorry, California girl here. And it's Disney World, but also Epcot Center. And there is a SeaWorld there, as there is in San Diego. And, you know, one of the things is that travel, going to theme parks, like what I've just mentioned, or the zoo, a safari park, different types of sightseeing activities. You know, how do you go about that with vision impairment, not only as someone who's affected, but also maybe as a sighted supporter? And how do sighted supporters best support those with a vision impairment? And so I'd like to open up the call to have anyone start in. And if you have some how-tos, tips, tricks, and experiences of vacationing, theme parks, the do's, the don'ts. And I'm talking vacations, whether it's going to other countries, cruises, resorts, things of that sort. I would love to open it up because summer's coming and that's when a lot of these vacations happen. Again, Orlando is happening at the, you know, June 17th through the 20th. And so opening it up to you all because it's your call.
Okay, hi. This is Teresa up in Bellingham, Washington.
Hi, Teresa.
Hey, I also go by Tess if I interchange those two. Anyway, so I just recently took a little family trip to Denver, Colorado, where I have family, and we had a memorial service to go to. But we did some fun stuff too. And so I was trying to, you know, figure out how to make it enjoyable with my vision loss. There's a sort of a theme park. There's a unique experience park called Meow Wolf there. It's called the Meow Wolf Convergence Station, and it is very visual. It's kind of like a huge four-story art exhibit, but it's also interactive. They give you, so they have different things because they're very open to helping people with disabilities. So they had, I mean, well, it turned out what we did was we just had my husband stayed with me and explained things to me, et cetera. But there was a lot that you could feel. And of course, you know, with the LHON, it's not complete vision loss, so I still enjoyed it. There was a lot of lighting and different effects and musical things. So they had a couple of things. They had, first of all, they had like a description thing that my husband could use to help him, like a laminated thing. And they had, you could use, what's it called? AIRA, AIRA.
Yep, Ira.
Yeah, you could use that for free, supposedly. But I didn't do the work to get it set up in time, so I didn't end up trying that. And then another thing we did in Denver was we went on a walking tour, which was like Dark Side of Denver tours. And they weren't necessarily, you know, used to having tours for people with vision impairment. I was just one of like 15 people on the tour, but his descriptions were awesome and I highly recommend it. It was a great way to get a little tour of downtown Denver and a lot of history, and he would just describe things in such great detail. It was like he was, you know, it's like he really was, you know, geared towards people with vision impairments, even though we're
Oh, that's
there. Yeah.
terrific.
It was
That's
awesome.
great. It does help when you have great tour guides that are very, very descriptive because it almost gives you that visual in your mind of what they're, on your right is, and they describe it. I've been in that situation before, so you're right. When you get a great tour guide, it really makes all the difference. That's wonderful.
So
Wonderful.
there were like a couple of situations. Like there was this stairwell with all these pictures from a rodeo, and he was like, "You should take a look at this one," and he described it in detail. You know, this one and this one. I just think these are so cool. You know, so that was one situation where I didn't actually go look at the pictures because I was just like, "Yeah, well, that's good enough for me." And then another part where we were like in the basement of a building, and they actually had these photographs blown up onto the wall. So I could actually see them kind of, and he gave very descriptive descriptions of those two.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Anyone else? Anyone else want to jump in? Theme parks, sightseeing, bears?
Can go ahead. Hello, this is Rob.
Hey,
Can
Rob,
you
how
hear
you
me?
doing?
Hey, doing
Yes,
great.
hey.
I'm not far. I'm
Good.
out in Palm Springs, California right now, so not too far.
Nice.
But I normally live near Cedar, well, within a couple hours of Cedar Point, Ohio. And I always go, I bring the cane, of course, and backup batteries and the whole shot. And I let them know about that I have a disability. And they give a, well, it's sort of like a fast pass. I would imagine Cedar Point or Disney World, did I get it right? Might do the same thing where you can walk onto the ride instead of waiting in line. And then they'll mark the time. And like if it's a half hour wait in line, then you can just walk onto the next ride in a half hour. You don't have to stand in lines. And that's what Cedar Point does. You don't have to bring proof of your, of course, as, but that's helpful. So we don't have to stand in hot lines. And I would check
Nice.
if Disney does things like that. So that helps out a lot,
Yes, I've heard of that. I've heard of that. Anyone else have any Disney World tips?
The only problem I guess I have at Disney is like anywhere else, like restaurants or something. Sometimes when you come in from the outside and come into, a really dark restaurant and you got to wait for your eyes to adjust, it's just hard to see. And there are some rides at Disney. My favorite ride, Avatar, Flight of Passage. And you're outside and then you come in and it winds around and it's dark. And so I'll just put my hand on Susie and follow along until I get sort of adjusted. And I don't know, stairs, but there aren't any really stairs anywhere at Disney. It's pretty flat. Just some of the other rides that might have the moving walkways you step on to go get on a ride.
Yeah, like
Right.
Haunted Mansion or something, you know, where you step in and
Right.
out of the cart, you know, and onto the moving platform. As far, Rob, as far as the fast pass things, Disney's charging out the wazoo for those now. They call them Lightning Lane passes, and you, unfortunately, and there, I don't think there's any difference if you have a disability or not. They, yeah, no.
Well,
Unfortunately, yeah.
it used to be, I
I hope
think.
you understand that. I wasn't saying suggesting to get a fast pass,
Oh,
but
no.
right. Okay.
Yeah.
This is not an suggestion to get a fast pass or whatever
Sorry?
it's called. This is not an suggestion to do it. The one that said to spend your money if you
Matt, yeah, so listen, you're
already
garbled. It's hard to hear you, Matt.
have one.
Can you hear me now?
Oh,
Oh, there
that's
you
much
go.
better.
Oh, sorry about that. This is Matt, and I'm on the other side saying, spend the extra dollar because you're already spending the money. Spend the dollar on the fast lane, whatever it's called. I do it here in California, and I just what first bring a hat. I feel like it's or sunblock. I feel like I get burned so easily just being there. Like that's just regular people thing to do, but. The fast pass thing, what we've done, if maybe we have four or five people, you like line up all the, and I don't know if it works in Florida, but you line up all the people in one app, and then one person's the controller, and like you pick a time for 1 o'clock, you're going to go on a certain ride, and like it schedules it for you. So then you go somewhere else and wait in line. Then you get out of that ride you just rode, and you're ready at 1 o'clock for your next ride. So you kind of like line them up like that. That's what my experience was a year ago or so. Let one person line it all up. They plug in all the fast lanes for all your five tickets. So you're all going at 1 o'clock. You're going to get on the ride right away. But right now it's 11:30. So you go do some other stuff. And then 1 o'clock, boom, you're right on. And then as you scanned it, you queue up the next thing. So all day long, someone should be like in charge like that. That's what we did.
Good one. I would call ahead to the park or go to their accessibility area and ask if they do that, the free card for those with disabilities like Cedar Point does, and see. It'd be worth checking. Or maybe if I find out, I can post it in our global group if they do make anything. But
Where is Cedar Point?
it's in Sandusky, Ohio, along Lake Erie. And it's really nice because it's just like I said, let's say if you go to a ride and it's a 1 hour wait, which usually turns into an hour and a half, you have that card they give you free of charge. You can do up to four people. This is Cedar Point. And you just walk to the front of the ride and get on. And then they stamp your card that you can get on the next ride in 1 hour, since it was listed as an hour wait. And then you just go to the next ride. And there is no charge, no upgraded fees. And it would be worthwhile to check ahead to see if Cedar Point does that rather than, I mean, if they're assisting and doing things to be accessible, and it would be nice to know to check. But it's the
I imagine some rides are more fun than others with the vision loss. I have to say, going on water slides is kind of a different experience after vision loss. It's almost like, all the slides, you can't see far enough ahead to, like you're used to doing. So it's kind of a, for me, where this is recent. A different
more
experience
extreme.
that can be more exciting, perhaps.
Or worse.
Depending.
Like
we
don't
never
know
know
when
what's
to,
coming.
yeah, you
Or
don't know when the drop
exciting,
is
whether
coming.
that's good or bad.
I think I just heard Chris
Follow-up
Lawton
question.
on the line. Chris, I know you're a big Disney fan.
Like you guys, some of the folks were saying it is a bummer that they don't offer accommodations in terms of the line cutting options that they like. I think someone was saying you have to buy the lightning lane or whatever, but they do have a lot of accommodations, which is nice, and everyone's so nice at Disney. I did have the experience that I think Wayne was saying that the being dark, going into dark rooms, or the walkways that move, but really I'm a person who tells everybody that I have low vision, and the cast members are so helpful. They make sure to kind of identify, there's this is going to be moving, or they're happy to stop the ride. It's kind of common there. Disney's super accommodating though. The biggest thing that I have trouble with is nighttime, like there, because there's so much going on. But my biggest recommendation is just kind of taking it slow and really getting a lay of the land. If you've never been there before, really try to spend some time studying it beforehand so you could be comfortable with where you are. And also, I think some of the parks are, the older one, like Magic Kingdom, is not as, I'd say, as accessible as like the newer. I think the Animal Kingdom is pretty cool. They do a lot in terms of like thinking of things for folks with mobility issues.
Well, with respect to theme parks, can I ask Paul a serious question, please?
Paul.
Oh,
He
Lori.
seems to be. Do you or anyone know whether anyone's looked into whether the use of peptides can help our condition?
I have not.
Paul.
Yeah, this is Paul Ward. I have not talked to any researchers or clinicians about peptides with respect to LHON. I know that there is other mitochondrial conditions. There are patients using peptides, but it is very individualized, much like the mito cocktail is individualized for people.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
I posted something recently, if some may have seen, about using a cane and how it helps alert people to your situation. And I find, I have a guide dog, and in situations like when you're going to a theme park in Florida, I try not to bring the dog into a dangerous or overheated situation, but absolutely bringing a cane. We not all of us use it all the time, but I've found that it's really helpful. I mean, it probably goes without saying, but I thought I'd throw that out there.
Yes.
So,
Yeah,
I can
Rob,
get you.
I was thinking the same thing. Even though Wayne doesn't take his, I think that, yeah, just having it and showing it kind of opens some doors, sometimes literally for you. But
Yeah.
also back with, that was a good point about wear a hat, bring sunscreen. But I wanted to let everybody know what you might not know. You are welcome to bring beverages. You can bring an entire cooler in with soft drinks and water and stuff like that. Food, you can bring your own food. You're not supposed to take alcohol in there, but what's in your smart water bottle is, your business. But it's we go occasionally, you can tell. But yeah, a lot of people are not aware that you are allowed to take in sodas and water bottles and stuff. They do have lockers. So if you do bring in a whole bunch of stuff and you don't want to lug it around all day, you can just get a locker right up by the front and stash it in there. So,
You pay for
and it'll be hot, so feel free to sit down in any of the cafes or anything like that and sit there for a while inside. There's a big, huge Starbucks cafe there, and oh, lots of places to recharge your batteries, to recharge your phones and any kind of devices. Communicore is a whole new open air center place with lots of seating and
Wow.
like concrete tables, and there's a band shell out there, and all over those little concrete, like almost bars with stools and stuff, they have places to plug in and charge. So it's very accessible that way. So
Nice.
I
That's
don't know what else
great.
to tell you. I don't know what else to tell you from an accessibility standpoint, because we kind of know Epcot like the back of our hand now.
Epcot's all pretty level, most of it all level. Animal Kingdom's got a lot of hills in it, up and down.
But not hills like y'all have. We have very just kind of
Hills like LA, you
But
mean?
it's made that they made it that way.
LA's got a lot of hills.
There is, if anybody's coming with kids or if you just want a tactile experience, there is a petting zoo at Animal Kingdom. You have to take a train to get out to, I think it's Rafiki's Planet Watch. A lot of people don't know about it because you can't walk to it. So if you get on this train, it takes you out to Rafiki's, and it's very
Yeah, very
fascinating.
cool.
Yeah, that's where they do all of the vet stuff. And if you happen to go out there when the vet is operating on a lion or something, you get to stand
So
there and
giving
watch.
birth.
Yeah, giving birth.
Wow.
But
Wow.
it's also a lot of animals that you can pet and groom with the brushes and feed, and it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Has anyone ever gotten folks who are affected? Have you ever found yourself kind of like staring off, and then you find out that you're actually just staring at someone?
Yes.
Wayne does it all the
Yeah, and I caught
I
myself
just
doing
don't
it
know
too on
it,
the bus.
and nobody's come up to say anything to me yet.
But they might be
What's your
thinking of me.
problem, dude?
Yeah. So I bring this up because Rob said about using a cane, and that pretty much would clear it up, so no one thinks you're weird. If you feel insecure in that way, sometimes I feel like I'm pretty sure I've been staring at this person for like 5 minutes, and I wish I, because I don't always have a cane. And I'm just saying, so like, if you're at the theme park, it does a lot of things. The cane, it clears up a lot of scenarios, that where people will just go, "Oh, I see."
Yeah.
Like, because if if you were looking really close at something, if you had a cane, it would clear it up.
Good one,
It
Matt.
speaks for you. It speaks for you, is what it does. I always say that my cane speaks for me. And I just had a friend who went to Disneyland with her daughter, who we then found, just connected. And I hadn't seen her in years. It turns out her daughter is also blind. So we, of course, totally connected on that. But she just went to Disneyland with her father who's in a wheelchair, her daughter who is a white blind, with many other family members. So she had a real rodeo going. And I said, I go, I bet that cane just parted the crowd like a like the Red Sea. And she goes, oh my God, unbelievable. She goes, we
Wow.
actually pushed her in front. I'm like, yeah, I get pushed to the front a lot too. But she said, people literally just got out of the way. I go, or they don't. She goes, oh yeah, she just starts whacking them in the ankles. I go, yeah, we can do that too. But she said, for the most part, people, one, they either ran out of the way like you're contagious, or they're pulling their kids out of the way, or they're just moving out of the way, and made it very, very easy to walk around because that cane spoke that she cannot see. So you need to move out of the way because she, not knowing what her vision is, she cannot see you. Lissa has witnessed this when her and I have traveled before, and I didn't have a cane for a long time until I decided to use it. And then when I had the cane, the difference, Lissa said, of people getting out of our way and not getting out of our way was night and day. They literally, it's like parting the Red Sea. And so it is, there's a real advantage to using it, especially in crowded
But
situations. Any.
Maria, we all, I would, speaking for me personally, I don't like that attention. And I didn't like hitting anybody with it. I could see enough to like, I don't need to hit anybody. I just want to say like what you're saying is exactly. And then I feel like there's another side of us, maybe some men and women, who knows, but like we don't want any attention at all. And I use it. I have an ID cane. It's like a pencil. And if when I'm alone, it's basically like I can't see good, right? So I just want to say like I wouldn't use it in that way personally.
And I, saying that, I do, a little bit, jokingly, but it has happened before where someone wasn't watching. Of course, they're looking at their phone, and they literally got tangled up in my
Right.
cane. And I was like, oh my God, I was just having a conversation with someone else again, another person saying, half the time I move out of the way because I have enough vision to see someone's coming at me. I move out of the way. The person doesn't move out of the way, and I have the cane. So I tend to do that just because of my, just
Enough.
habit. I want to get out of the way. And so it all just depends. I've had some situations where someone may have deserved getting the cane between the ankles, just saying. But I don't make it a habit for sure, Matt. But it does, it really does take the stress off the people you're with, that they're not going, oh my gosh, I need to keep moving them around, or they're going to hit a pole, or they're going to run into a person, or a chair. And it can be really, really helpful. Again, with our condition, you can choose to use one or not use one, or just use it when you need it. That's the great thing, right? So, I definitely always have one with me, or it's in the car, so I can choose when to use it or not use it. And I think sometimes crowded theme parks might be a really good time to use it. But again, it's not for everybody. And there are so many different kinds of canes, like you said, an ID cane, a telescopic cane that you can just stick in your pocket, and then just a regular folding cane. Whatever works for you, type of thing. But it is a really great tool to have,
I would
in your.
call a telescopic cane close to an ID cane,
Yeah,
because
true.
it's like they're normally really thin, and I don't know that they're like the density, but is any different. But like I know there's a man, Jerry Koons, and he swears by telescopic canes. He won't use anything else, and he's completely blind. So like, but they can be very, an ID cane can be very thin as well. Like it can fit in your pocket.
And can you explain a little bit more that it doesn't have the tip on it, Matt? Can you explain that for people?
It can, like you can have it with the rolling tip. I have the rolling tip on my ID
Oh, I
cane.
wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, I got
myself.
it from Ambutech. I forget. I got it online, but I made sure I got the rolling tip, and you have to connect it with the string. And it
Right.
unfolds in like six pieces, so it looks like a stick of dynamite.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
glad you both said that, because I mean, it can be helpful, and it sometimes it's okay to take breaks where we can identify how we want when we want. So there are days when maybe I don't want to talk about my vision condition and make it, but most times when I've used it, it's made things go so much better. I was in a crowded concert one time, and I was standing really close to another person. I didn't realize it, and they said, "Could you not be so close?" And I pulled my cane up out of my duffel bag and just put it down, and they said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry." And they changed. They were cool then. They weren't thinking that they understood why I might not have realized, And I wanted to shoehorn a real quick cane story in here that when I first lost my vision, there was one song that inspired me called Unchained, that the guy, it's good, Devin Gilfillian. He goes, "Nothing's ever gonna hold me back. Nothing's ever gonna hold me back." He sings it a lot better than me. But I was at a concert he did, a live outdoor show, had my cane. After he was done with his show, there I was with my cane, and somehow we noticed each other. And I asked him, "Where did you come up with that song?" And I said, "That's been my theme song. It inspired me after I lost my vision." And he said, "I wrote it for my brother who has a disability, and he can do anything like you." And he gave me a hug, and it was like a big moment, like with
Awesome.
this artist. And I'm saying that because I just found out that Devin Gilfillian, one of my favorite artists, is playing for free in San Jose Sunday at 4 o'clock in San Jose. If anyone's in the area and wants to meet up, I'll be there at 4 o'clock. San Jose. It's a free show. All you need is a plane ticket if you're not in the area, which is, fuel prices are so
It's
low
as
these
free as
days.
your plane ticket.
Yeah, it's only like $800 for you for those far away. But anyway, I just throw that out there in case there's anyone. I know, Paul, you're not too far. But anyway, I'm just throwing it out. But the cane did
Hey,
make a difference.
Rob, it's Paul. Jerry and I moved to San Diego.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, I'm gonna have to
Place to
sell the
be,
douche.
place to be.
I know. All right. That is a cool place. But thanks for listening to this story. And the cane made the difference in that case, in us noticing each other, and it opened doors once again. It does open doors. It's helped. Thanks.
Nice.
You were
What
talking
about other
about
vacations? Oh, go ahead, Wayne.
people see you coming with a cane and they'll move out of the way. I can remember being at the LHON conference in Nashville, and Susie and I were downstairs checking in, and John Knox was there. And I cannot remember if it was James Kanicki or Lance, but either one, and Susie was describing as they're coming through with the cane, and both of them are 6 foot something, and they're coming along with the cane, and people just move out of the way.
It is true. It is true. And then, of course, someone will come up to you going, "Oh my gosh, you're blind. I know someone who's blind. Do you know John?" And you're like, "No, just, well, you have a cane like he does." I'm like, "I don't know every blind person." But sometimes it can create some connection in other ways too, and not just, parting the seas. But I was gonna say, has anyone else been on other types of vacations? Safaris, cruises? Speak
I had a
up, yes.
really, really good experience coming back from Mexico.
Okay,
So
tell.
I was alone. I didn't have a travel companion. I'm alone on the airplane, and we're flying from Mexico to Arizona. And the stewardess walks up to me and she says, "We're going to get you off the plane first." And I thought, well, that's very nice, because she knew I had visual impairment and everything. And this guy comes on the plane, and rather than a suitcase, I had a large backpack. And he said, "Is that yours?" And I said, "Yes." He put it on and he said, "Just hold on to it." This man started flying through the airport. I'm just holding on to the backpack. We go through the entire airport, and I realize that we're walking by a huge line of people. It's maybe 400 or 500 people. And then we roll right up to a metal detector. They have me take off my shoes. We pass on through. He has me put them back on, and we're going to my connecting gate. And I said to him, "Was that U.S. Customs we just went through?" And he said, "Yes, it was." And I said, "That took about a minute and a half." And he said, "The other 500 people are in line." So there are some advantages if you use them to your advantage.
Wow. So
Hey,
you were
this is Jen.
go ahead.
We had an experience. Matthew had a tractor tire fall on him, so he had a broken leg and a mess. And Mexico was by far the best airport to go through when we dealt with him. Minneapolis, we had to push him around and try to figure it out. But as soon as we got to Mexico, same thing. They took us right away. So Mexico was great.
It's just very hard to navigate the streets in Mexico.
Oh, yes. Oh,
Mexico is
yes.
great.
Mexico's awesome, but man, their sidewalks and curbs are just crazy all over the place. I mean, talk about maybe needing a cane so you don't trip and fall because the sidewalk's lifted or it's so uneven there, the cobblestones, things like that. Yeah.
All of a sudden,
This
there's a
is
3-foot curb or something like that. Like, what the
3-foot
hell?
curb, and it's a big step up. It's a
This
big
is
step
why
up.
Mexico's great.
Yeah, it is true. It's very cultural and very architecturally, different.
This is Teresa again. On the trip to Denver, going through the airport, I just realized it's a lot. It's a more stressful with the vision loss because I have teenagers, and of course they don't try to get too far ahead. But with my vision in a crowded airport, and I want to still be the mom that knows where their kids are at every moment, and I can't do that as easily anymore. They get a little too far ahead and they're out of my sight, and I'm sort of back of my mind freaking out. But I've got my husband right there, so I don't have any reason to. But it still, just sort of adds extra stress.
Well, that's why you have to train them. Like you need mom needs to know where you are. It basically becomes a whole different thing for them, is
Oh,
that they
yeah.
need to understand that you need to know where they are. I do know that Chris travels with his 4-year-old son, almost 5-year-old son. Often I was going to ask if anyone's been on cruises. I know Chris has. I've been on a couple cruises. Anyone else been on a cruise and have a great experience on there? Maybe not so great.
Yeah, and so my teenagers, they're 2 years into this and they know well enough, but they're still teenagers that want to be, like pretend like they're not attached to you as parents and, that kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah, that's teenage years for
Oh
sure.
yeah,
Definitely.
but I'm
So.
just I'm still, they're still babies in my head.
Yeah. They'll get there. They'll get there. So
Yes,
cruises. Anybody? Cruises? I love cruising.
I like how you said that, Maria. It's like the cruises are a good thing because you don't have to go to some new place and be stuck there for a week trying to learn the streets and the neighborhoods. It's like you once you learn the layout of the ship, then you get off and you kind of do as much or as little as you want. If it's a tour, then it's super easy. You don't have to think about anything, but you get like a glimpse of the culture or the scenery and think maybe I want to come back or find out what kind of accessibility. Accommodations they might have. Yeah, I love cruises.
My husband and I went on a cruise right before I lost my vision, and so I can imagine things that would be easier or harder on a cruise. What do you do to identify your room?
Well, once you get your layout, you kind of count how many it is from the nearest stairwell or, so you're always like counting five, doorways or whatever it may be. Or you're just the person with a your magnifier app out, looking at people's doors before, every encounter as
Yeah,
it
it sounds like a pain in the butt.
or you're always with somebody who can
Yeah.
I would
Put
walk you to your room.
a post-it note on there or something.
Yeah,
I
you can
could
a lot of people
bring
decorate their
something.
doors on cruises,
Yeah,
That way you can
something
find
big
yours
though.
is the one with the giant yellow caution tape or something,
That's a great idea, actually.
Danger.
Yeah, because I mean, just this, like I said, I was on a cruise before vision loss, and I just remember the hallways were like, I was like, I'm glad we're just like the second door down or something, because this looks like it would be hard to get easy to get lost in.
There's
And
definitely a
so.
lot of rights and lefts that have to go. And I did my best. I've been on cruising before and after vision loss. And I do my best to actually go, I turn right, then I turn
Yeah.
left, and then I turn right, and then it's three doors on the left. And you just have to drill that into your head. Like you have to repeat it almost to yourself how many different times. But I also try not to go back to my room by myself. One, I just for safety reasons, I don't want someone watching a blind girl, with a cane going to her room by herself, that kind of thing. So I try to always have someone with me going back to my room. I know it might be a hassle for people, but people don't usually mind, but cruise ships are crowded too. So sometimes a cane is a good thing. And, but, also it's people do run into you. I think more so on a cruise because there's not a lot of wiggle room, right? And the boat will shift a little bit and it's like, whoa. And all of a sudden, people just can't help it and they just run into you. And
So,
that's just the way it
Maria,
goes.
when we were on that one cruise that I've been on, I remember there was like a person, like a steward that takes care of your room, gets you more towels or whatever. Did you ch try to have like an extra special relationship with your staff that helps you?
Not me for any reason. No, not me in
Okay.
particular, for any reason. No, I've gone with just my partner and I've gone with other couples and so honestly, there's just always someone that can once you get in your room, you can figure stuff out, that kind of a thing. But I've never gone to staff or anything in particular. No, not me.
Okay.
Another thought, Tess, you were saying about finding your room. Like whenever I stay at resorts or on cruises, I always kind of like on cruises, I like to be in the center of the ship, or you can request to be near closest to the lobby or maybe closest to the elevator, so that way you're not, it's not too much of a challenge to kind of map out where you are. I also, in terms of you guys were saying earlier, tours. I love descriptive tours, but also like hop on, hop off tours are fun. Or
Yes.
I always try to do tours just because, like, I didn't really prefer it when I was younger, but kind of takes away a lot of the stress. It's like, okay, I just have to get back to this point, and they'll pick me up. I can explore a little bit, get a lay of the like area that it is, and then get back on. And usually, a lot of tours either have automated kind of like explanation things, but I find that that's a lot more fun and stress-free than trying to like go explore a whole neighborhood on my own. It kind of limits you, but at least you can get out and explore.
Agree. I love hop on, hop off tours. This is Maria. And at every LH1 conference, except for the last couple, I have done, because I've had my kids with me, family, my mom, we've done hop on, hop off tours. And the description is fantastic. But we've also done, we attempted to do this. I don't know. I forget where we attempted to maybe try to do one with a group, but was duck tours. And a duck tour is the tours that go on land and in the water. And they are hysterical. These guys that do these tours, as Teresa was saying, these descriptive tour guides are hysterical. And you literally don't have to see anything. They are describing everything so well, and they're making it funny and enjoyable that you just don't even think, I can't see anything. It just takes your mind right off of that. Same with the hop on, hop off. You guys get a good tour guide, kind of like the, I forget what's the ride, Disneyland, Disney World. Maybe it's the one where you go on the boat and they have the tour guides, and they're just funny. And
The
you
Jungle
just don't even,
Cruise.
the Jungle Cruise, you it really does take your mind off it if you find a really good cruise like that. A lot of bus tours too can be kind of the same thing. You have a tour guide who's describing everything to you. But also, I've done the at the zoos. We have the San Diego Zoo here, and I've done the zoo a couple of times with my grandkids, post vision loss, and we've done the bus ride. And I'd not done the bus ride visually impaired before, and again, good tour guide, good description. But just walking around, one of the things I wish I had brought with me is a little maybe binoculars. They. Binoculars are hard to work for us. I will admit, you have to really get them tuned in. But when, everyone's looking, especially my grandson's like, look at that tiger, look at that pant, look at that black tiger. It's a panther. I'm like, because they're too far away. I can't see any of the animals. The giraffe is the best that I can see because it's right there and it's huge. But, I wish that I would have brought binoculars, and they can help with so many things when you are sightseeing, I think. And I have a small pair of like ones that you would take to the opera. They're small, they fit in a purse. They're not the big ones. And I know some folks on here use a binocular, like the one
Monocular.
binocular, monocular, that's it,
Monocular.
which I've tried, very exhausting for me, doesn't really work. But binoculars, the next time I go to the zoo with the grandkids and family, I'm going to take binoculars so I can see the darn panther, or the leopard or whatever we're looking at,
Yes.
instead of just faking it, going, oh yeah, look at that. Well, no, because then I'm just inside sad because I can't see it, but I want to be engaged with the people that I'm with. So, that's one thing that could help.
Have you or anybody tried taking like a tablet where you can zoom in like a full screen so that it's bigger?
Sometimes I bring a tablet
Yep.
or try with my phone. Is the Zoom's getting better and better, but it's just harder to find what you're looking for. But yeah.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
have done that too.
Lorenzo here in Connecticut. I've been doing lately is taking my iPad with the gooseneck that goes around your neck and it has a holder. You put the iPad right there. I'm taking it to the movies now. I'm watching the movies leisurely. I really start to enjoy it. And I haven't tried that, but that's something you can take with you. I have a little, a little notebook, packet, whatever, for a laptop. Put everything in there that I need. Pull it out. Boom. Put it on there. And I'm going to try that though to go on a tour or something. That's a good idea. But the other thing I tried real quick also was they have these field glasses that you can adjust the focus on for hunters and stuff. They're inexpensive plastic pair, and I brought it last month to watch hockey. My friend's granddaughter played hockey, and I was able to follow them around. But it's got to be more than 20 feet away, otherwise, if it's too close, you can't focus. But
Yep.
yeah, you can pick them up for like 25, 30 bucks, and you can adjust each side. To your eye, your individual eye, and it does focus in.
Oh, that's a great tip. Thanks,
Yeah.
Lorenzo.
I was
Yeah.
able to use a tablet to watch my kids wrestling at the end of the school year. So that was good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just on the travel note, this is John in Connecticut. In the last couple of weeks, there was a piece, like a podcast type thing, and I don't remember exactly what it was or whose podcast, but it was on the New York Times. And there's a New York Times photographer, Andy Isaacson, who's relatively well known. And it was an interview with him, and he had been on, I think, a couple of different tours with a company based in Glasgow, Scotland, called Travel Eyes. Travel Eyes. And I looked it up, and it was started by a guy named Amar Latif about 20 years ago. And the whole idea of it, and I'm really curious to try something like this. You go on a tour, and they're all over Europe. I think they have some in the US, some in Asia as well. And you're assigned to a sighted person is assigned with a visually impaired or blind person. And this fellow, Andy Isaacson, he's a sighted guy, he's a photographer for the New York Times. His perspective after having been on one or more of the tours was really interesting because it was completely different from other types of tours he's been on. And he's been all over the world. But the perspective of people who couldn't see anything and the questions they would ask and the types of descriptions he was asked to give them was completely different, and he found it really refreshing. So something folks may want to look up. That Travelize company seems to be pretty vibrant, and it's been in business for quite some time now.
Oh, thank you, John. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I can imagine somebody who goes as being a sighted supporter, as we would say, when someone says, "Can you describe the colors of this?" And trying to describe colors sometimes, I was doing it for folks who were 100% blind at an organization I belonged to years ago, and they never had seen colors. So when I was describing pink and we got talking about this whole color thing, they're like, I go, well, what do you think pink is? And they go, pink to me is like a beautiful perfume. It's very pretty. It's just a light perfume, pretty color. And I went, and that was the blind person, 100% blind. And I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's it. What do you think about blue? And it was, of course, water and things like that. But it was very interesting that I didn't know how to quite describe things as a sight, as well, as because I was sighted at a time. And it is probably very different if you have never had to describe in detail the environment and the words and the adjectives that you would really come up with. I'm sure people learn to get very creative if that's something they do often. And it's a very big learning experience. Thank you, John.
Welcome.
Anyone else? Anyone else have anything? And it doesn't have to be about travel and binoculars and iPads. Anything else anyone like to bring up? We're after the we're let's see, about 6:18 here, about 9:18 here. But I always want to be mindful of time. But anyone else like to bring anything else up right now? Well, we'll go into events coming up in June here in a minute, but I want to throw it out to anyone else.
Just one last thing from John in Connecticut. It seems odd, but I love going to art galleries. And one thing always frustrating to me, for obvious reasons, is not knowing what the little tag, usually down at the right of a painting or an artwork, says about, the artist, when the artist lived, when the painting was done, all that kind of information about what you're looking at. And a few years ago, I got that Seeing AI app. Phone, and my realization one day in the in an art gallery was, if I stick in my little earbuds and hold the turn on Seeing AI and just hold it up to the sign for a second, it will read that out to me while I'm looking at the painting and zooming up with my with the zoom feature on my phone. So kind of an interesting way to more fulfilling way, really, to go to an art gallery. So maybe folks already do that, but there's something I've used.
Yes, at that I could see how that would work. I use that same app. Yes, app, brilliant. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, no one's mentioned Meta glasses, or I know the Echo Vision glasses are kind of coming out more and more. They also have the AI that you turn on all the time. And you can just start asking it questions like, tell me what's in front of me. It'll describe the painting. It will read, probably read. Well, maybe I'm not sure about Meta, how good it would be, but I think the Echo Vision probably would read the little, the little piece where it talks about the piece and the artist and things like that. So that's technology that I think would be helpful, visually at a gallery per se, for something like that too.
This is also, oh, sorry, Brie, I thought you were done. Go ahead.
No, I am.
I was wondering if anyone remembers, Matt Spinberg seems to have dropped off, but I'm pretty sure on the last call, he told us about something, John, that's even more efficient than seeing AI. And I can't remember the name. I want to say it's like read aloud or text to me or.
There is something I've seen heavily advertised on YouTube called Speechify. And is that the one, maybe, Lisa?
I don't
Yeah,
remember,
what's
but what he said about it was that instead of having to go to Seeing AI and open it up, it's just like right there and you point at it. Now, maybe that was on his computer, so maybe that wouldn't work in your environment. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was on the computer and
Well,
he would just open it
I
up.
think it
I
was,
could
Lisa. I
say,
think it was on his
yeah,
computer. Maybe
okay,
so. But
sorry.
Seeing AI has gotten a lot better. They used to have where you had to like point at it and then scan the document, but now they have where just in the main screen, it will just read whatever it sees, and it seems to be pointing better on my phone than it used to too.
I agree. It's gotten really good.
Yeah, reads, and then there's the button right there to push right away to take a picture of it. So then you can control the read, play, stop it, whatever you want right away too. It's all in one now.
Yeah, the other product, Speechify, that I mentioned, people may have seen that on YouTube or elsewhere, but a lot of advertising for it. I did download it and try it. It struck me that it wasn't really much different from seeing AI, so I actually deleted the app. I figured I don't need to, but it struck me as something kind of similar, but folks may want to check it out.
Yeah, it's always good to have options and try different things out to see, what works for you. Definitely. Definitely.
I've got a friend who made an app that looks at stuff and describes it. So it's like seeing AI, but just describing a room, not like reading stuff for you. But I don't really like it because it's kind of judgmental and not particularly accurate.
Like your living room's a hot mess. What the heck?
Exactly. I mean, it
Yeah.
practically says that kind of thing. Like
Yeah.
I did a description of my pantry with Seeing AI and a description with his app, and it was like, there's things falling out, this shelf has, just and it
Yeah.
wasn't accurate, and it's just, yeah, so I can't really recommend it.
Yeah. Lorenzo, in a quick description. I know you use Meta glasses quite a bit. The seeing it, the AI, when you can turn it on, so it's on all the time. Do you use that very often?
I do more so than just the glasses by the, without the seeing. See, live AI is the better feature.
Live AI.
Yeah,
Yep.
live AI is the better feature on that and everything. And the only thing is that bothers me is that when you're in a crowd where there's a lot of noise behind you, you're gonna have to cup your ear to listen to it. That's one thing I've noticed. Be aware of
That
that,
would be true.
but you can use it with the seeing AI. It's more like I use a lot more, to be honest with you, with Bluetooth playing music, with YouTube music, or using Seeing AI. So I'm listening to it, not being rude to anybody. You can get away with keeping that glasses on. But John, I like your idea to bring earbuds just in case, and then my little packet to
Yeah.
go.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. And I also like having an open ear.
Yes.
I mean, I've got earbuds in plenty of time during my days, but I also like having an open ear because I think it's important for us to be able to actually hear other sounds, because we can't see. So I think
Right.
it's really good to hear other be able to hear other sounds when you
Yeah,
need
I can
to
use that mostly. Yeah, exactly. So I can use the glasses more so as a Bluetooth device, or any AI when needed, and that's gotten better.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, I think unless we're gonna go through the events coming up in June, and then we'll turn the recording off. So please stay on. And again, as I said in the beginning, if there's any questions that you want to answer that it's not on the recording, that that'll be the time. And usually if there's still the whole group, you're more than welcome to stay. You're more than welcome to just listen for the events and hop off. We know we appreciate your time and we love having this call every month. I've just, of course, love being back in the host seat for Jessica, just like the OG days. And but I'm gonna pass it over to Lissa. So I don't have the list of events as Jessica normally does. So I'm gonna pass it to Lissa to give you all the events coming up in June, Zoom calls.
Sure, happy to do it. So tomorrow is the navigating employment call. And we only do that a few times a year. So that's a good one to join if you're interested in issues around employment, whether it's, maintaining a job, issues that you deal with in the job environment, looking for a job, et cetera, et cetera. It kind of goes in every direction. And then next week on Tuesday, June 9th, we'll have the sisterhood call. And that's for any woman who carries an LHON mutation, affected or unaffected. And again, we only do that a couple of times a year, and we have some actually pretty deep, interesting, emotional conversations as women carrying an LHON mutation from that perspective. And then the next week on Wednesday, June 17th, the Dad's Call, which is every other month. We do moms of affected kids of all ages 1 month, and then we do dads the third Wednesday of the alternating month. So that's going to be on Wednesday, June 17th. And then a fan favorite on June 22nd, Monday, assistive technology. And similarly, it's like a wide range of topics. What you just bring your questions about technology, how to solve assistive tech questions, whatever, and the group responds, and the moderator, Sarah Nappi, responds, and it's a lively call. And if you go to the assistive technology group, Michael Lillis takes notes and posts all the things that come up. So that's a good group to be a part of. And the conversations are always quite stimulating. There you go, Maria.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to give a little shameless plug because, I'm the conference girl. In case some of you don't know, I chair our annual LHON conference, and I'm going to throw it out there. We did talk about MitoMed coming up at the end of this month, but what is coming up in 2027 is our next LHON conference. It is going to be held in San Diego, California,
Almost
and it
over.
is.
Over. And I suppose Mike's about to leave too.
Okay,
Oh,
Tess, you're still on.
sorry.
And yeah, we are almost done. So. For anyone waiting for dinner. So it's 2000, it's going to be held in San Diego, California. It's going to be at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel in Mission Valley. It's going to be April 30th, which is a Friday, May 1st and May 2nd. We're going to be kicking off that Friday with a welcome reception that evening, starting at 6 o'clock. Registration will be open during that day. So when you come on in, you can get registered, get your name badge, all that good stuff, and then join us for a really fun evening of getting together and kind of getting acquainted and welcoming everybody. We have a full day of sessions, not only lecture style, but roundtable that we're planning. All day Saturday. It will be a full day running from 9 a.m. all the way till 5 p.m. And then Sunday, we have half day-ish of starting at 8 a.m. I do know for a fact, because we've been doing it the last few years, it's very popular. We're having our coffee and conversation, which is a bunch of networking time. We're making sure we have that for y'all because everyone always wants more time to get together. And then we will finish off with a couple more sessions, probably ending around 12:30. And as we have done at previous conferences, if you have attended, we like to keep the connections going. So we love to hang out together. And this hotel has a really big large bar lounge. It has a whole pool area that the bar lounge opens up to. Now, I'm not saying May is, summer, but it's a lot of area that we can gather for all Sunday afternoon into the evening, and stay connected, reconnect, get together with our friends, the new friends, old friends, and this conference is for everybody. This is for families. This is for moms, dads, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, spouses, partners, boyfriends, girlfriends, and adult children of people that are in this, who have come into this community. No matter if you've been in for 40 years or you've been in for 6 months, this conference is for you. Registration will be opening very soon, so keep a watch for maybe an email, social media postings. It'll be going on to the LHON.org website, and it will be happening after MitoMed, so no more near the end of the month. Still determining launch date, but that's different. We have never opened registration up this early, and we do have different tiers of pricing. So of course, registering early, you're going to get the best early bird price. And of course, we'll be taking registration all the way up until very close to conference next year. So again, come one, come all. San Diego's calling your name, and we're really hoping to have a really, really great turnout. And considering we're not having a official LHON conference this year, we're skipping a year. So, it'll be extra special to bring everyone together in 2027. So keep a watch, again, email, social media, website. The information will be out there, and there's to make sure that you get it. Obviously, there'll be social media postings, and if you have questions, people do ask questions on social media, and we can answer questions that way. Or again, emails will be coming out that you can ask questions on as well. So anyway, there's my big 3-minute spiel. I'm very passionate about it, as you can tell, and it's going to be terrific. It just really, really is. And with that said, we'll go ahead and turn off the recording, if you don't mind, Lisa.